This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Monday, and Mayor Julie Moore Wolf joins us again after having a few days off. I hope you had a wonderful time with your family, got away, and got a chance to recharge a little bit.
Yeah, it was fantastic, Brian. We had amazing weather, and it was great. My sisters and I, you know, really haven't had a chance to be together except for when my mother passed away. But, you know, so this was a much happier occasion, and we got to just spend some time together and enjoy the weather and each other, and it was great.
Well, good for you. I'm very happy for you, and I hope you said hello for all of us. I miss seeing them as well. We are here on a Monday. We won't have the numbers for the weekend until a little later today. Into Friday, there were 32 positive cases and one death of a female in her 60s, and if you're tracking positivity rates here in the region and then here in the county, we're still not correcting course here. How concerned are you, and what are you expecting when you get the numbers a little later this afternoon?
Well, obviously, I have high hopes that they're better. We had one day when I was gone last week, I think it was, we had just 5 cases reported. And then the next day, it was up to 32. And I had hopes that, okay, maybe we've crossed that threshold. It's very odd traveling to a different state where the rules are different. And I was in South Carolina, which we were in a lot of outdoor places. Chain-like stores, those sorts of things, were very strict about masks. Restaurants, not so much if they were locally owned, especially some of the like little cottage businesses were like, oh, well, you don't have to wear a mask. Others were very, very strict. Traveling on an airplane was weird. You cannot, and I hadn't been on a plane since the very first flight that United took from Decatur to Chicago when we established the United service. But you cannot, even if you have a bottle of water, you can't take your mask off. Except for a sip, you have to put it back on as you swallow. So, and they, you know, it wasn't, you couldn't have a gaiter, you couldn't have a bandana, it's not a mask. If you need a 3-ply mask, you can't have single ply. I mean, they were just unbelievably strict, which, you know, they're trying to get their economy, their business back in business. And so I think what we're going to see is a lot of these industries making it the way it is. And I really feel like some sort of vaccine passport is probably inevitable for trips. If you're flying, if you are going on a cruise ship or into a ballgame, I really do. I think that's in our future.
Yeah, Lindsay had the exact same experience. She flew west as you were heading east, and even in Tempe, Arizona, you know, when you read about Arizona as a whole, but she said there, particularly at the university level and the hotel and the flights, everybody was participating within the rules, and it was required. There's going to be a certain amount of peer pressure, whether people like that term or whether they like that feeling, that if you want to go to a concert or you want to go to a sporting event or you want to check into a hotel or you want to get on an airplane, whether we have an official passport or not, whatever that might look like. And I understand people's privacy concerns, and we've certainly had leaks in government and recently in the state of Illinois with the Attorney General's office. And so I get that there are privacy concerns, but I think it's going to be a company, not a government mandated thing. It's going to be these large corporations.
Yeah, and I was reading something this morning about some companies offering incentives to their workers, whether it's a $100 bonus to get vaccinated, or I can't remember if it was Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme, but it was like a free donut every day for life if you're or for a year if you're a vaccinated employee. Some, you know, $75 and or just paid time off to get your shot. So I think there's going to be some carrots, there are going to be some sticks, but it's going to boil down to if you want to go and do certain things in your life, you are either going to have to show proof of vaccination or you're not going to get admitted. That's just going to be how it is because, you know, these major cruise lines and these other places, it is a huge liability if they have an outbreak on their ship, and shutting this stuff down again would devastate their industries. I mean, the airlines suffered dramatically. You know, the shuttle drivers from the parking lot to the airport, you know, those guys didn't have any business or tips for, you know, close to a year. So they're just getting back on their feet, and they are going to do everything possible to stay open. And that's going to involve the public participating. If you're going to be on their airlines, in their airports, if you're going to be going to their events, you're going to have to show that you are safe and you're not going to cause their business a bigger problem. They don't want the liability.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the companies that are participating. Budweiser through May 16th, they're giving away free beer, Junior's Cheesecake, Krispy Kreme, as you mentioned, Nathan's Hot Dog, Staples and Office Depot, White Castle. The list goes on and on. The people are trying to do whatever they can to incentivize people to do this. I can't think of a bigger incentive than just wanting grandparents to be able to hug and hold and cuddle with grandkids and families to be able to get back together. And I know that there's a lot of people that are using that as leverage. Look, you want to see the grandkids get the vaccine.
And I think, Brian, there are still there's a large chunk of the population that's just uncomfortable because the vaccine was pretty fast. It was developed and tested much quicker than most vaccines are. But people have to remember that this was built on earlier. It used to take 10 years to get a vaccine, you know, produced and effectively tested for safety, et cetera. With technology and the ability to do these prototypes and building on what they already knew from like the H1N1 virus and other viruses and how they spread. I mean, Bill Gates predicted this was going to happen back in, I don't know, 2019 or 2018, that, you know, what was really going to take down the world was going to be some major pandemic and we needed to prepare for it. And, you know, we didn't, but we now know so much more. I think once we get maybe a lot more people vaccinated, those that are hesitant because they're afraid, because they feel like it just came out too fast, that they will be more comfortable with it and understand that, for example, I've talked to numerous doctors and read so much where, you know, people of childbearing years are so frightened of this. And, you know, doctors are telling these young women, you are better off having a vaccine than getting COVID and being pregnant, because your chances of losing the baby are much greater, or doing some sort of damage, because you do not want to be a severely ill. I mean, I couldn't take cold medicine when I was pregnant. So imagine having COVID and not being able to have medicine to help you without risking your baby. So
and
you
the same thing on the,
what it could be.
Yeah. Well, same thing on the guy side. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, we're worried about fertility and all of that, and yet ignoring all the science behind COVID and with the damage it's doing in that area. I thought if one thing would make these Republican guys stand up and listen, it would be like your pee-pee might be affected. But even that doesn't seem to – I mean, like they'll ignore that threat, you know, to use that excuse to not get the vaccine.
And what's weird, Brian, I had a very mild case of COVID, okay? However, I lost the sense of smell in a number of ways. Like I could smell some things, but not others. Like I could smell soap, but I couldn't smell bleach. My sense of smell in the last few days for bleach came back dramatically. Now it's like if there's a little bit of an odor of bleach, it's overwhelming to me. And so I had a mild case. I can't imagine some of these people who get COVID, even if you're young and you're healthy and you're 40 years old and athletic and, you know, everything else, you don't know the long-term impact of what it's going to do. Yeah, you may live, but you may live with some real, real problems that we aren't even aware of yet. So, you know, it's going to take time to get people to adjust and feel comfortable with this. It may be incentives. It may be, you know, taking things away. We need to get there so that we can get back to normal. It was really nice to see, you know, little glimmers of people being back to normal again, actual foot traffic in O'Hare. Which, you know, was like it was so quiet. It was amazing, you know, a year ago.
All right, Mayor, we appreciate it. Welcome back. Thank you for being with us today. We'll check in with you the first thing tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.